And can you talk about the design of the study and the key findings from your point of view?
Yeah, I mean, Catherine was basically a study that was targeting women whose initial biopsy was HER2 positive, who received one of the global standard regimens. We tried to be pretty loose with that because we knew we'd have to do this study globally. Didn't require an anthracycline, but allowed an anthracycline. Didn't require two antibodies, but allowed an antibodies. And only 20% of patients got two antibodies, largely from the U.S. accrual. So we had a lot of flexibility in terms of the design. And we decided that we would allow patients in the study with any amount of residual disease. That was a design issue early on. Fraser-Symmons' work with RCB had certainly suggested the 0 to 1s when you look at all breast cancers. I mean, the RCB1s do as well as the PCRs. So would they have enough events? Is it worth the potential toxicities? Because when we launched Catherine, there was still some uncertainty about hepatotoxicity. So we were taking it from metastatic into early settings. So, these were things that we had to think about. But we basically tried to make it as broadly inclusive as we can. And we had pretty involved stratification factors, how they presented, inoperable versus operable, ER positive, ER negative, single versus dual HER2, and then finally, at surgery, did they have residual nodal disease? We thought those were the important things to get right. And when you look at the data, those were good things to pick because you do see that patients with inoperable disease, patients with ER negative, patient with residual nodes have a higher event rate than their counterparts. But everybody, irrespective of how they did with trastuzumab, had this 50% reduction in their risk. So the inoperable patients who came in inoperable and were converted to operability, but still had lots of residual disease, they still had a pretty high event rate. But that was cut in half with T-DM1. It went all the way through. Even the subset of patients who had less than a centimeter residual tumor and negative lymph nodes, they did much better with trastuzumab. They had an 85% disease-free interval there when we were looking at it. That went up to 90 with the T-DM1. So everybody benefited from the therapy, which was very gratifying. So that was basically what it was. The study was set up so that, and this was an interim reporting boundary, we sized the study looking for about a hazard of 0.73. We thought a 25% reduction would be clinically meaningful, but we built in the interim and it crossed because it was so much bigger than what we had thought. But as part of that, since we knew we were going to be taking it to the regulators and they would want to know about survival, it was planned to do a survival analysis. But there's so few events in both arms, there's no difference. The trend is in the right direction, but you can't make any comments about that. So we still will need to follow these patients to understand the full magnitude of the benefit over time. But as we know in HER2 positive, that can take years now because patients do so well.
And I guess we should point out that the key randomization factor was the post-op therapy for the year, the traditional sort of adjuvant anti-HER therapy, and the control arm getting, I guess, trastuzumab or trastuzumab pertuzumab, for example, but the other arm getting T-DM1, as I mentioned, an antibody drug conjugate. The other one that's out there used a lot in lymphomas, particularly Hodgkin lymphoma, brentuximab vedotin.